I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier here at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. And the message today is titled, As a Christian, Are You a Lamb or a Lion?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about this question, Are you a lamb or are you a lion? How do you see yourself? How does God see you? What is your true identity? How should you see yourself? According to God, according to the Word, the Bible, and according to yourself. So this is a huge topic because how we see ourselves, our identity, our sense of identity, will super impact how we interact with the world around us and what will be the nature and character of our heart. So we need to understand who we are. Are you a lamb or are you a lion? And what does God teach us about that in His Word, the Scriptures? Well, first of all, what would be the obvious answer to that question would be that we're certainly lambs and sheep, right? I mean, if you look at the Scriptures, in fact, let's open up to Psalm 100 here in the Bible. God's very clear. This is a common theme. It says, know that the Lord is God. It's He that made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we're definitely sheep, right? We're definitely sheep. We're definitely lambs. David says in Psalm 23, He leads me beside still waters and green pastures. Here are the green pastures. Look at that beautiful picture of the sheep on that hill there. We know that Jesus says He had compassion on the crowds when they gathered around Him because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so we are definitely sheep according to the Scriptures. We are definitely lambs. That's one of the themes that constantly courses through the Scriptures. But we need to understand, though, in what way are you sheep? In what way are you lambs? Are you a lamb in every way? Can I come over here to Ernie and pull some wool off of him? You're not actually really lambs or sheep, literally, but in certain ways. And so what ways? Number one way you are a lamb and a sheep in God's sight as your identity is that we need a shepherd. Look at this. There's a shepherd. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own. I call them by name. I lead them out and I go before them. Look at this shepherd ahead of his sheep. So that means you as God's people were designed for a shepherd, a close relationship with God, Jesus Christ, and you are to follow Him. You know, lambs have always needed a shepherd from the beginning and the start of creation. We didn't come up by evolution, and a good testimony to that is sheep. No teeth, kind of slow, no speed, no armor, but we've always had a shepherd to guard us. Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, right? And so from the start of creation, sheep have always needed a shepherd. And so in this way, you are sheep. Amen? We've always needed to be a close relationship with God, Jesus Christ as our shepherd. He leads, we follow, therefore you are sheep in that way. And here, by the way, you have a sheepdog in the background. That, you could think some pastors say, that's like the pastor. Jesus is the shepherd, and I'm kind of nipping at your heels, helping you to follow Him along the paths of the Lord. And a second way that you guys and I are all sheep is that we are pure, righteous, and innocent, like lambs. Now, that's not of ourselves, of course, because by ourselves, we were sinners. But Jesus Christ came to do what for us? To purify, to give, our Savior Christ Jesus came to give His life as a ransom for all, to purify for Himself a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds. So He did what? He purified us. Come now, God says, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So I can come over here on Ernie and pull some wool on him, namely righteousness, purity, innocence, which Jesus Christ has given to you, Ernie, because you're his sheep. You're his lamb. He calls you, leads you out. And then we actually live a pure life with the Spirit leading us. You know, we're not perfect, but we're growing in righteousness and innocence. So you're a lamb like that too. You have a shepherd. You're also pure, righteous, and innocent, made so by Christ and walking in those paths. What does it mean that you're pure, righteous, and innocent? Notice Jesus says, "Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." What does it mean then to be a lamb? A lamb in the midst of wolves, lamb in the midst of wolves, simply means this, basically, that you are the good guys in the face of many bad guys. You are like John Wayne with a white hat over against the Clint Eastwoods of the world with a black hat. You are God's good people, pure, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as stars, lights in the world, Philippians 2 says. So being a sheep simply means you're the good guys over against the bad guys that are surrounding us in the world in great hordes and numbers, like armies. The third way that you are sheep, and I'm a sheep as well, and a lamb, is that we are a sacrifice to save others. Isn't that what lambs do in the Bible? If you look at the Passover lamb, remember, that lamb, those lambs, gave their lives, died, then the blood was placed upon the doorpost and the lintel of the house in Egypt, and they saved the people because the avenging angels passed over them and did not enter those homes. So the lambs lay down their lives to save others. We see that also in the temple sacrifices. Morning and evening, a lamb was to be offered in the temple to take away the sins of the people as an offering. And so the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 that offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. That's your regular, natural, spiritual, logical worship. And that we are to lay down our lives for each other as Christ laid down his life for us. So that's a third way that you're a lamb. Number one, you have a shepherd and you follow him and his word. Number two, that you're pure, righteous, and innocent, the good guys. Number three, that you lay down your lives heroically to save others for their good. So those are ways in which you're a lamb. Are you with me? These are scriptural. But now we need to make sure we're really clear about this today. Do not push. Do not push the lamb, sheep analogy or comparison too far. You know, a lot of people do this. Many Christians in our day push that analogy way beyond what God tells us to do. In other words, we're facing enemies. We're facing adversaries. We're facing great challenges in life or dangers and perils. And we think, I'm just a little lamb. I'm weak. I'm timid. I'm a coward because I have a lamb's heart against all my foes. Woe is me. A lot of Christians do that, right? That is a misapplication of what it means for you to be a sheep and a shepherd. I mean, a sheep and a lamb. Remember that these applications only go so far to make a point. You're not entirely a lamb. I can't pull wool really on Ernie over here. Okay, you're only lambs in certain ways, like the ways I just mentioned to you. If you push the analogy too far, what happens? Here, this picture, they're at the edge of a cliff. You go off the cliff. It's very destructive and dangerous for us to apply the lamb-sheep imagery in the wrong way and go too far with it. If you look in the Bible, God is often using animal imagery to describe things, right? They're all over the scripture. Similes, metaphors, analogies, comparisons to make certain points. But they're only to be taken so far. For example, look at the eagle here. Where is that an image in the scriptures? Well, look at what God describes himself this way. Exodus 19:4. He says, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He's speaking to Israel. Then again in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11 and following, he says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its feathers, the Lord alone did lead him. There was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. So God says, I am like an eagle. Is he like an eagle in every way? Does he feed on dead things? No, he doesn't really have feathers, but he is high, he's mighty, and he makes his home on the heights. That's where God is. He's majestic, like an eagle. So don't push that analogy too far, right? You with me? Because God also says in the Bible, in Hosea chapter 13, I will fall on them like a bear robbed of her cubs. In other words, against evil. He will avenge wrong and evil like a bear. So God says, I'm an eagle. I'm also a bear in a certain way, in that I am furious in my wrath against wickedness to avenge the wrong and to establish the right. So don't push that analogy too far. Here's a little quiz for you. Who is this in the Bible? What's that a picture of? A ravenous wolf. Who are ravenous wolves in Scripture? The false prophets, the false teachers. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So when you meet a wicked preacher, by his deceptive words and teachings and preachings, he's seeking to devour people, to eat them up, gobble them, and destroy them. Destroy their lives by wicked and false teachers. So they're like a ravenous wolf. And they're also at the same time like, oh, I hated to pick this picture up there, a brood of vipers. You know how long I searched for you guys to find a picture of snakes that, frankly, I could put up here? They were all so disgusting. They're all so evil. But what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 23? Woe to you, Pharisees, you scribes, you hypocrites, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? So they're ravenous wolves on the one hand, but they're also poisonous viper snakes because they're evil and twisted and crooked and wicked in their ways. Who else in the Bible, by the way, is a snake? The devil is. The snake, the serpent, was more clever, shrewd, wise than all the other creatures. And he came in to deceive Eve by his words. Did God really say to lead her astray and to bite her with his fangs and sink his poison into her? So notice this verse, though, about you guys. We've said you're sheep, right, John? And Greg, you're a lamb. But notice, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless or innocent as doves. So you're also supposed to be a dove, by the way. Innocence, just like a sheep is. And you're supposed to be like a serpent. You should be like snakes, God says. Only in this way, though, in your clever wisdom, that you act in a shrewd and wise manner. Not in any other way. You're not supposed to be wicked or evil. So we got to be careful. My point here is, do not apply these analogies too far. I'm not going to say, you serpent, you broods of vipers all the time. I'm just going to say, be wise and be alert. Right? So we need to not push these things too far. And I'm going to tell you, many Christians, us perhaps included, in these days, we are facing perilous times in this world. There are dangers lurking about. Threats and perils in our future, potentially. If you face these things with the heart of a lamb, misapplying that scripture and teaching and saying, I have the heart of a sheep, the heart of a lamb, beyond what God has told me lambs and sheep are supposed to do, then you are going to be in great trouble in facing the world. That's a wrong application. That's not how God speaks to you. We need to be very careful. For how will you wage war? How will you fare in battle if you say, I am weak, I'm timid, I'm a coward like a sheep? Think about that. Who are we at war against, according to the scriptures? Who is the devil according to St. Peter? Anybody know this verse? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be alert. Be watchful. Behold, your adversary, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And so the devil is like a panther, a cougar, a lion. He's seeking to get you, says the scripture. Look at him here. I'm going to apply Psalm 10 to him, which is really about wicked people. But let me read this to you. He sits in ambush in the villages, in the hiding places. He murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the hapless. He lurks in secret like a lion in his covert. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he catches him in his net to crush him, to make him sink down and to fall by his might. You know, this is a real battle that we're in. There's a real enemy war that we're going on with, and the devil is a lion. I tell you, how are you going to face him if you have the heart of a sheep and the heart of a lamb? You have a shepherd, you're a sheep. That's good. You follow the lamb wherever he goes. That's good. You're pure, righteous, and innocent. You're the good guys. That's good. And that you laid on your life as a sacrifice. That's good, heroically, but that's where we're going to finish it. When it comes to your heart, when you're waging battle and war, you got to let the sheep thing go, God says. Is this what you're going to look like? Is that how you feel today? Look at this little sheep hiding behind the rock. Oh, I'm so afraid. Bah, bah. All these terrible things happening in the world. What am I going to do? Oh, bah. I'm weak because God said I'm a sheep. Therefore, I must be a weak, timid coward. Is that how you're going to face life? Is that what God really tells you in Scripture? Look at this. Sheep are pretty stupid. Are you stupid? No, you're as wise as a serpent. You're shrewd. You're clever, God says. You're sharp. You're not stupid like sheep are. And you don't hide out. You're not afraid of battle like sheep are afraid of battle. You're not afraid. You're not startled. You're not easily made to cower. You're not cowards. It's not the heart that God gives to you. So put that one away from you, God says. What does God say of you with respect to your heart when you're facing perils, dangers, battle, and war? He says, you are lions. He says, you have the heart of a lion. Yes, you're pure and good and innocent like a sheep, but your heart is of a different character when it comes to war and battle. You're courageous like a lion. Who are we fending off against? A cougar, the devil, prowling around. If you're a lamb, you're in trouble. But if you look like this guy, look at his eyes. Is he afraid of any? None. He goes forth in power. And that's what the scripture says. Here it is. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's what God says is to be your heart in the midst of your battles and wars. Be innocent and good as sheep, but be as courageous as a lion against your adversaries. This pleases the Lord. This is what he's after in you, is this word, courage. Now let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 30. Three things are stately in their tread. Four are stately in their stride. The lion, which is mightiest among the beasts and does not turn back before any. Think about that. The lion never turns back before anybody. He goes forward, for the might is on his side. The might's on your side, for he who is in you. God is greater than he who is in the world. The Lord is the strength of his people. Courage. And then you have the strutting cock, the he-goat, and the king striding before his people. So what is the heart that God wants you to have in war and battle? The heart of a king and the heart of a lion. Royal striding, and you turn not back before any. Courage. Is that your heart? Does it describe it? Now, how do you see yourself today? God says, this is how I see you. This is how what I put into you. This is what I want you to be when it comes to facing the challenges of life. A lion with courage. Who is the king that has both of these? You've always heard of him. I've spoken of him often. Richard the Lionheart of England, right? And here, of course, that's the movie. That's Sean Connery. Sean Connery. But look at Sean Connery's eyes here. His eyes, he's looking like a lion. He does not turn back. He is the king in royal power, and he does not turn back or fear before any. That is the heart that God puts into you. Not of your own strength, but because the Lord is the strength of his people. Don't be afraid, because I am with you and in you. In these things I delight. How many times does God tell us in the scriptures, be strong and of good courage? Does he ever tell you to be timid and afraid before your enemies? Never. In fact, the king delights in courage. In Hebrews, he says, if the man shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in it. He doesn't delight in cowards. Actually, in Revelation 21, cowards are those who are cast out of the city of the king at the end of time. It's the brave that enter in, the courageous, those with a lion's heart. The Lord is the strength of his people, the saving refuge of his anointed. He who conquers shall have this heritage. I will be his God and Father, and he shall be my son. So we need to put that kind of spirit into us today. God calls you and me to be a lion, not a lamb, in the face of battle and war. So let's consider this in the Bible a little bit. How do you normally see yourself, by the way? When you face troubles, kind of like, oh my goodness, I'm a lamb, I can't take this. Do you know all the saints have felt that way at the start? God came to Moses, and what did he say? Come, Moses, I send you to Pharaoh. You'll bring him out. In other words, God said, Moses, you're a lion. What did Moses say? You got the wrong guy. Who am I? I can't even speak. I stutter. I can't do that. I'm a lamb. God says, but you're going to go anyway, and I'll be with you. And what do we read there in the Bible? Well, let's read it up for here in Exodus chapter 11. Pharaoh says to Moses, get away from me. Take heed to yourself. Never see my face again, for in the day that you see my face, you shall die. What was Moses' response to that? Moses says in verse 8 of chapter 11. Let's look at that up. All these your servants, Moses says, shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get you out, all you people who follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Oh boy, that's a lion. What happened to the timid little lamb that Moses was? When he went into battle, God gave him what he needed, and he went out roaring like a lion from Pharaoh. Strength. That's what God's putting in you, Kareem. How about Gideon? Hail, you mighty man of valor, says the angel of the Lord. You're a lion. Go forth in this might of yours and deliver Israel. I can't go. I'm the littlest and the weakest of clans, and I'm the weakest family amongst my people. I can't do that. God says, go in this might of yours and deliver them. You're a lion. What did he do? As he went to the battle, God put the spirit of a lion into him, and with 300 people, he chased like 300,000 or so of the Midianites and drove them out of the country. That's the heart of a lion came up. Jeremiah says, I can't go, I'm only a youth. God says, I'll set your face against their faces and you'll conquer. He went and he conquered. If you look at the apostles, they're like very weak. They're hiding behind closed doors. We're just little lambs here. The Jews are after us. We got to lock the doors. Short while after that, they're sent into the battle. They raise up a lame man. The authorities say, by what name, by what authority did you do this? They say, if it's being asked by what name, it's by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man is standing before you well, and there's salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it says, when the authorities saw the boldness, say boldness, of Peter and John, they were amazed. Oh, and then they said, oh yeah, they've been with Jesus. We get it now, in a sense. Because this is what Jesus does with his people. Is he doing that with you? You know, we all start as lambs thinking we're this way. He sends us into war and battle saying, I'll be with you. And on the way, he transforms and brings this out of your heart. This is your true identity. Boldness, courage, royal majesty, power, strength. You turn not back before any, and I want to tell you today, this is why I'm preaching it to you today. We may have adversaries, perils, dangers in our future. We don't know. Definitely challenges. Put into your heart the heart of a lion. That's what God puts into you today. And he raises you up in strength. Why is it that God, you can say that I'm a lion? It's because the king's own heart, here's King Richard, then again, Robin Hood, my own only image I ever really use with you. The king is giving you his own heart. That's why he delights in these things inside of you, because that's who he is. God is pure. He's righteous. He's innocent. Therefore, he loves those things inside of you. Be like lambs in that way. But he says, I am the lion heart. I am courageous. I want my sons, my children, to be like their father. I put my spirit in you. That's why you can say you're a lamb. Because the father, a lion. Because the father is a lion. Indeed. And he delights in that. And he will be done with you when you have the same look in your eyes as he has in his. Think about that. We read in Romans that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, if Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he wants you to have purity inside of you and a courageous heart just like he has. So let's correct this image today and throw out the lamb when it comes to battle and war. That's for goodness and innocence and sacrifice. When it comes to battle, you are lions. And you are my pride, I tell you. I'm proud of you. You're my pride of lions. And why is it all these things that we are these things? Because Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, is the Lamb of God. How so? Because he was pure, righteous, and innocent. God was his shepherd. He did as the Father commanded him, and he laid down his life. How? As a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen?
Amen.
But then, does that mean he's a meek, mild, timid coward?
No.
Was that the heart he had in battle, Cheryl? Over here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He stared them all down face to face. One man against the world, and he conquered them all. He is the Lion. And we see here, when he went into the temple, he was not there like a lamb. He overturned their tables. He had a furious rage. You shall not make my father's house a house of trade. Overturned their tables. The lion came out of him at that time. So also the lion is to be in you. And after dying on the cross to save us from our sins, to give us redemption, salvation, and eternal life, he rose in power as the King of glory. And how? As the King of kings and Lord of lords. In Revelation, John is very sad. Nobody can open this scroll with the seven seals. Oh, then an elder comes and says, don't be weeping anymore, John, for lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. This is the heart I'm telling you today. You've got to believe about yourself. That's what God says about you. Yes, be pure, righteous, and innocent as a lamb. Lay down your life for others. Follow your shepherd as a sheep. But when it comes to war, you are lions. And you need to have the heart of a lion. And that's because that's God's heart. He delights in these things. He is the lion heart, the king. Final slide then is this one. We go back to Sean Connery as King Richard. Therefore, God says to you and to me today, he says, you are my sons. Be lambs, that is good, but know that you are also lions. Therefore, be strong and be very courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.